Well, I'll tell you what. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jim brought a message about being tougher than your toughest day. Do you guys remember that? I'll tell you what, that was just an amazing message. And what a time for that. You know, I know that the holidays and everything is were going on at the time. And, you know, the forecasters say, one forecaster might say that the economy looks to be doing better. Another forecaster or economist might say, well, we don't know what's ahead of us. And the holidays are this. And you've got, the kids and the presents and the stresses on top of gas prices are going up and everything else like that. So, I mean, it was a great message. I know for me, it really encouraged me. It built me up, especially in this time. And we're kind of in an uncertain time. And, you know, the bottom line is just like the weather forecasters. I know you guys are all probably on the same page as us. You know, I mean, they say it's La Nina. It's supposed to be dry. It's supposed to be hot. And it's cold and wet, you know. So the bottom line is the forecasters, the people who predict whether the economy comes up or the weather is this, nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody knows what the future holds except for God. And so Pastor Jim brings a message about being tougher than your toughest day. And I want to focus in on his first point today and kind of spin off of that, because I believe it's a topic that we as Christians overlook so many times, or we don't quite grasp the severity or grasp the scale of the topic of faith. And if you look up on the stage, you'll see the big word believe. And you know, Pastor Debbie had talked about, she was at Disneyland, and the whole theme of being at Disneyland was believe, believe, do you believe, will you believe? And the whole question is, believe in what? What is there to believe in? But of all the people in all the world who have something to believe in, we, as Christians, we, as the church, we, as people of God, have got the most to believe in. We have got the most to gain out of belief. And how many of you guys know that part of belief is faith? And, you know, one thing that I appreciate so much, at the time we didn't know, as soon as I graduated high school, along with Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess and a couple other of my friends, we had packed up and moved to Tulsa and went to Rhema Bible Training Center for 2 years. And after Rhema Bible Training Center, then I attended college. So I went to Bible college before attending actual university. And the one thing I do appreciate about attending Rhema Bible Training Center first is that one thing that they taught us, one thing that they really pushed on us, was faith. They taught us how to live a life of faith. They taught us the faith message. They taught us the verses on faith. They taught us the foundations of faith, the ABCs of faith. I mean, we learned faith. On top of learning faith, we had to operate in it because we lived 1,500 miles away from home. And, you know, we had no family. We had no money. We had nothing going on for us. And so we had to live every day in faith. And so, you know, getting to the thought of what we're talking about tonight, I really thought, you know, let's kick off this first Wednesday night. You know, a lot of times, the first Wednesday night of the year, a lot of times in the beginning of the year, we have resolutions. I've heard a lot of people say, this year, my resolution for New Year's is to not have any resolutions, but you were still making resolutions. So tonight, I thought it'd be such a great idea for us to dig into faith and taking Pastor Jim's point and titling that Faith for Today. Today I want to talk about faith. So often in our lives, we think of faith and we say that we operate in faith. You know, every day, at every moment in our lives, we're all believing for something, whether it may be something big, it might be something small. You know, we might be standing in faith for finances or for a job or for a miracle, for healing, for family members, whatever it may be. In all walks of life, on all stages of Christianity, we all have to stand in faith. But oftentimes in our lives, we see faith as just faith. And you know, I firmly believe that if you were to ask 10 people that their definition or their idea of what faith is, you would get 10 separate answers. Sure, we can all say, yeah, faith is believing in something. It is believing something that you can't quite grasp, or believing in something that you don't see. You have to believe in it. But at the same time, there's so much more to faith. Does faith start there? Does faith end there? Or is there more to faith? And tonight, I want to dig in. I have two simple points. And in those two simple points, I have a couple of ideas about learning in faith and about growing in faith and in maintaining faith for today. You know, Jesus tells us that we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. We shouldn't worry about what's around the bend, but because today, sufficient is today's own troubles. And so often in our lives, we stand in faith and we operate in faith and we have our eyes fixed around what fixed on what's around the bend or what lies ahead, that we skip over what God may have had for us today. We skip over or we overpass what God has got for us in this very moment because our eyes are so fixed on what might happen or I'm worried about this or, you know, they're saying this might happen or the forecasters are saying this and I just washed my car and it's supposed to rain on Friday, whatever it may be. But Jesus tells us that today, the troubles of today are sufficient enough for our own. And to not worry about that. And he gives us the example of the birds of the air and the flowers, and they don't worry about their clothes and they don't worry about their food and they go about life. And he gives us a very simplistic idea of just, you know what? Just trust in God. Because if God, he says, you know, later on in that, he says, if God can feed the birds and make the flowers pretty, how much more would he do to his own children? How much more would he build up his own children? So we can rest assured in our faith that if we concentrate on the task ahead of us, And focus our faith, that we can have a strong and a firm foundation of faith. That faith will not only get us through the day, which is the start, but that faith will also carry us into tomorrow, into the next day. But how often in our lives do we have faith, or do we say that we're believing in faith, or we operate in faith, and then when the metal hits the, or when the rubber hits the road, or when issues of life come, does our faith suffer? Or is it one of the, how often in our lives when issues come and trials come or hard times present themselves to us, is faith the first thing that goes out the window, right? How many times in our Christian lives have we stood for something or believed for something and then a trial comes and all of a sudden, instead of standing like we should be as Christians and understanding where we are in Christ and our position with God, we start to resort to the flesh and, well, how am I going to do this or how am I going to get this done and how is this going to happen? And we start to try to figure things out all on our own and our own power, and then it almost seems like weeks or months or days go by and we look back and we say, God, why didn't I even ask you about this? Where that's, I believe, church, that's the reason why a lot of times our faith suffers, is in the sense that we have a general idea of faith, and yes, faith is believing. It is believing. It is looking at something that, you know, we may not be able to see, but to faith, there's so much more. And obviously now I spent a couple of years at Bible college learning faith, and so I can't express all of the knowledge that I have in faith, but tonight I want to take a couple of principles of faith in order for us to strengthen, to build, and to guard our faith, and to stand on a firm foundation so that when the hard times of life, when those tests of faith come, and they will, we can have a firm faith. We can have a firm foundation on which we believe. And so that we're not just speaking that we are living in faith, or we're not just saying words of something that we believe, that we say, but in our heart are going somewhere else. But we can be in line with what our faith says, and what our mouth and our heart say are the same. You know, I had a family member, somebody that I know very close, and we were talking, and they were telling me about what the forecast for the near future was and some of the risks. And this was all regarding health. And, you know, around October, the flu starts to kick up and the cold season starts to come up. And they were explaining to me that, you know, what certain professionals or healthcare professionals were saying about this season of flu and about the different coughs and colds and flus that were coming. And they were expressing to me their urgency in that I should go and I should take my family and we should get vaccinated for this and this and this and this. Now, let me tell you this before I go any further, that I do not have any qualms or quarrel against vaccinations. And I believe that they do help. Statistics show that they bring the flu down and they do help those who need it. But I proceeded to tell this individual, listen, you know, all my life I've stood in faith. My parents, one thing they taught me as a kid, you know, they'll tell you growing up and starting the church, we didn't have health care, so we didn't go to the doctor. So when we had a flu or we had a cold, we took some NyQuil if we had it. Otherwise, we roughed it out and we stuck it through, but we got through it. And I said, you know, I'm believing with my family. I know that God is on my side. I know what the word says about healing, and I know where I'm standing for. And I have faith, is what I responded to them. Now, I'm not quite so proud of what I responded after they responded, but I'll go ahead and tell you that. They said to me after that, I have faith too. And knowing where this person is and knowing where they stand and just their MO, you know, the way they go, I'm not too proud of my response. And I don't recommend this, but I respond back to them, look them firmly back in the eye, and with a sort of a cocky response, I said, yes, but I have real faith. Now, what I'd like to accomplish by telling you that story is not to show that sometimes I can put my foot in my own mouth, but rather we as Christians a lot of times say, we have faith. Oh yeah, I'm believing. I'm believing for that. I have faith for that. But then when the rubber meets the road, and when it comes time to really stand and fight the fight of faith, because we've heard that term, right? We've heard of the shield of faith, right? We've heard of take up, in Thessalonians it says the breastplate of faith and hope. We've heard that it's a fight of faith. So when that fight comes, because we are guaranteed, we are assured that the enemy, that the flesh, and that the world will come against our faith, when that fight comes, we as Christians oftentimes speak verbally of faith, but we don't back it up in our own heart. And we'll find later on in life, or in tonight's message, we'll find later on that what good does that do us? And what good are we accomplishing by stating something verbally and by going out and saying it, but when it comes time to really operate in it, we don't. What good does that accomplish us? How does that get us through the trials of life? And how does that guide us through, especially for the day, let alone the future, if we can't operate in faith and truly believe and truly understand the subject of faith and the topic of faith, the topic of believing, then how is it going to benefit us in life? So tonight I've got two very simple points, and tonight we're going to get into some, and within those points I've got a couple of ideas on each one of them. And tonight I want to talk to you about faith for today. Starting off faith for today with number one, we have to understand what faith really is. Now, like I had said, if you ask 10 people, you might get 10 separate answers. But I believe everybody together would come with a consensus that faith is, you know, we can say a conviction. Faith is a belief. Faith is looking at something that you may not know the outcome of and hoping for something like that. And we've read, and we'll get to that tonight, the definition of faith in Hebrews. And so while I'm talking about it, if you have your Bibles with you, you could go ahead and turn to Hebrews in the 11th chapter. But what is faith really consist of? Is it just a word? Is there more to it? Is it something that we teach ourselves and we train ourselves? Is it something that we speak out and hope that in speaking that out lifts us up and develops us? Tonight, let's look at Hebrews in the 11th chapter. So often in our lives, we speak out in faith. And I am the king of this, and my wife and I will tell you, you know, there's been so many different issues in our life that we've stood and believed in faith, and, you know, we were just certain of that outcome, and we were certain, when time came, you know, it just didn't happen the way we thought, and we questioned ourselves, and ultimately we'd question God, and say, God, why didn't you come through on me? Why didn't you back me up? You know, I was standing in faith, I mean, I was saying it, I was believing. And for us to have a mature understanding of faith and a mature understanding of God, we have to understand what faith is. And in Hebrews in the 11th chapter, verse number 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, that's a familiar verse. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things unseen. But I want to take a little bit deeper look. You know, I like to go a little deep. You guys have heard, I've told you before, I like to do history, I like numbers, I like statistics, I like all that stuff. And so whenever I read a verse and I really want to understand the depth of that verse, I bust out this big old book, you know, pull it out, boom, slap it on the table shakes a little bit, dust, blow the dust off the cover, and that's the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. I mean, it tells you what every word in the Bible is, whether it's Greek or it's Hebrew, and it tells you that word's specific definition, because how many of you guys know that sometimes a word might have multiple meanings, right? So the Strong's will tell you, well, that is version 1402 of this word. And then you can know that that's what they meant by this. And you can, by looking at what each word means and the definition of each word, you can gain a better understanding. So today, I was pulling out the definition of that. And I wanted to show you some things. The definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So on the highlighted, oh, it's not highlighted. I wish we would have had faith, substance, and evidence highlighted on there. I had that on my notes. But let's take a look at some things. Substance. The definition of substance. In the Greek, that word is hypostasis. Hypostasis. Sounds like hypothesis is actually what it looks like, but it's called hypostasis. Now, I don't have that up there, but I do have the Greek definition of hypostasis up there. Hypostasis, or substance, is defined as setting or placing under that which has foundation or is firm, or that which has actual existence. And I have at the end, I highlighted that which has actual existence. So faith is that which has actual existence. Faith is setting or placing under that which has foundation or which actually exists. We go further on to see things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Looking at the definition of evidence, the Greek word is elehos. And the Greek word for elehos, evidence, is a proof, that by which a thing is proved or tested. So substance, we see, is something that is placing under something that has a foundation, something solid, something strong. You know, we've heard the analogy of Jesus talking about the man who built his house on the sand versus the man who built his house on the rock. Yet so many times in our life, when it comes to faith, we place our faith on the foundation of sand and not on the foundation of rock. First thing right there, because we don't quite understand what it is that faith, what it is about faith that we don't quite get. So tonight, we're looking at faith, substance, and then secondly, evidence. It's the proof. It's something by which, it is something but evidence, and I'm sorry, go to proof. Back. I'm sorry, go to evidence. It is proof that by which a thing is proved or tested. So here we have substance. We have something that actually exists. And then he goes on to say, the author of Hebrews goes on to say that it is the evidence. It is a proof. So tonight I want to take the definition of what we just looked at in the Greek and kind of mix them together and make our own version of Hebrews. Faith is that which has actual existence, the foundation of things hoped for. It is the proof in which things are tested and proved that are unseen. Faith is the evidence. It is the substance. It is the foundation. It is the actual, it is the actuality of it. And then it is the proof. It is the evidence. It is what we can test and hold fast to of the things that are unseen. Now, guys, this is deep. This doesn't mean that faith is just, doesn't mean that it's just believing. It doesn't mean that it's just tossing out something and saying, okay, I believe for that. I can come in faith with that. But really, it's saying faith is something that actually exists. It actually exists. It actually is there. It is a foundation of something. And then further on to say that it is the evidence. It is the proof. It is the model by what we take in our lives. We test it and prove it accurate to the things that we cannot see. Well, how many of you guys know that faith, based on the Word of God, is something that does exist? The Word of God exists. It is alive. It is very present. It is very relevant. And it is the proof by which we can hold things fast, when we can test, when the trials of life come. It is the proof, it is the evidence that we can apply and say, you know what? I've got evidence. I've got, you know, it's going to seal the deal. But so often in our lives, we forget that and we negate that, the depth of faith, and we just say that faith is a blanket statement and I'm believing for it. And then we wonder why, when hard times come, when we don't put our foundation on solid rock, and we don't put something on a firm foundation, we don't rest in something that actually exists, we don't have evidence or proof to back it up. And we wonder, why does our faith not last? Why does our faith not work? Why is it that when I'm believing for something, it doesn't come? Well, how many of you guys know that in a court of law, if somebody brings an objection against you, you know, we've heard the term that you're innocent until proven guilty, right? We are presumed to be innocent until proven guilty. The proof of burden is on the prosecution. Well, guys, let me tell you something. The prosecution of this world comes, you know, in the form of flesh, in the form of the worldly desires, in the form of battles against Satan. And the proof we have, it is up to them to get it. It is up to them to come to us and say, you know what? Boom, I got the proof. I got the proof. You're going to come against me and say that my situation says this, but I have the proof that says my situation says that. And then all of a sudden, our faith does something a little bit different. It actually starts to work. It actually starts to go through and follow through with what we believe and what we say. And we come in line. But we have to understand the principles of faith. We have to understand that faith isn't just a blanket statement. Faith isn't just a word that we can use as Christians because it's a religious word or it's that's how we believe in. It is something. It's something that actually exists, and it is the proof of something that we can test and hold fast to. In understanding faith, we must also know that faith must be based on God's word. You cannot believe faith in faith contrary to the word of God. You guys may have heard the story of Pastor Jim. He was talking to somebody, and a woman comes up to him and says, "Pastor Jim, I am standing in faith for a husband." And he looks at her and says, "Oh, praise God, I'm glad for you. Who is it? I'll stand in faith with you." And she points over across the auditorium to a man standing over on the other way. And Pastor Jim looks at her and says, "That man is already married. You can't stand in faith for a husband to somebody who is already a husband." Right? Faith has to be based. Remember what we just talked about, the principles of faith. Faith has to be based. It is something, a firm foundation, a concrete foundation, a cornerstone of what we put our trust in that is based on the Word of God. You know why it's based on the Word of God and not our own thing? Because the Word of God is true. The Word of God is unchanging. The Word of God is unwavering. The Word of God isn't wishy-washy. It doesn't say, "Oh, well, you could do this," or, "Well, you could be like this," and, "Oh, you know, I'm not quite sure." The Word of God is true and set. But you know what isn't? Us. People. Right? We have emotions, and when we make decisions based on emotions, when we make decisions based on feelings or based on predictions, how many of you guys know that those emotions may not hold true? Those predictions may not come to last. And so we build our faith on a foundation of sand and wonder why. Wonder why is it that I never, that lady might wonder, why is it that I never got that husband? God never delivered him to me. Because she put her faith, like we said, the substance. She put her faith on the substance of something that was sandy, something that was not firm, something that did not actually exist. So that when the trials came, the proof that she had crumbled away beneath her. Tonight, guys, we have got to place our faith based on the Word of God. We have got to put our trust, we have got to put our guidance in line with the will of God and in line with the Word of God. Now, if you'll turn with me in Romans, you can keep your finger there. If you have fingers, we're going to, you know, slide them into the Bible a couple different places, so by the end of the night, your hand will be tied up. If you have a ribbon or something like that, keep it in Hebrews, because we're going to be in Hebrews, and we're also going to be in and around Hebrews. But if you have your Bibles, it'll be up on the overhead to Romans, the 10th chapter. Verse number 17, we read, "So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing comes by what? So we get our faith from hearing. We get our faith from seeing, from digging into. And that hearing comes directly out of the Word of God. So when we base our faith on the Word of God, we build it up and we put it on a firm foundation. And let me tell you something, guys. If you're in this place tonight and you're believing for healing, you're in this place tonight and you're believing for prosperity, you're in this place tonight and you're believing for a job or better jobs or anything else that we might be proclaiming tonight during the offering, if you are standing in faith, the best thing you can do for your situation, the best thing you can do for your faith is to get into the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the Word of God. If you're believing in this place tonight, set your foundation on the Word of God. Well, healing says, you know, you say, "I'm believing for healing. I'm believing that God would restore my health." Well, what does the Word of God say? What does hearing and the Word of God tell us? Well, the Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ came and he bore our sins on that cross, and by his stripes, we are healed. And now we can set our faith on things that actually exist, because he actually came. He actually bore our sins on that cross, and he took our healing upon that cross. And now our faith can stand on something that is solid, on something that is on concrete, and it is in line with the Word of God, because it is the will of God for you to be healed. It is the will of God for you as a child of God to be prosperous, to be like Pastor Jim talked about, to be full of joy. And if we set our faith, we set our belief on the things of God and in line with the will of God, then all of a sudden our faith activates in heaven. And it locks into what God says and says, "You know what? I can join in with you." And God comes down and he says, "I can get involved in that. I can set my hand upon that situation, and I can put my hand in your life, and you watch and you see what God can do for your life." But we have to understand faith. Secondly tonight, faith for today. We have to realize that faith requires action. Now, we may have an understanding of faith. We might know that faith is a substance, it is a foundation, it is a firm belief, it is a conviction, and it is the proof and the evidence of things that we may not be able to see. We may understand that, but if we don't put faith into action, if we don't do something about our faith, if we don't do something about our beliefs and about our convictions, what good does it accomplish us? Unfortunately, in my own life as well, we as Christians oftentimes stop at the understanding of faith. And we say, yes, I'm standing in faith for that. But then as times come by and as trials come, we wash out. And our faith, you know, stumbles or it takes a hit. Why? Because we didn't put into action what we actually believed. And so we're just speaking with our mouth. We're just uttering words. I'm believing for. But that doesn't make a difference if we don't back it up. If we just say it out. You know, like with the example of my wife. If I was to tell my wife I love her, that can only mean so much until my actions back up what I say. You guys with me in this place? For those of you who are not married, maybe you can relate to this. A diet without dieting is not a diet at all, correct? I just recently embarked on a diet during the holiday season. You might look at me and say, Pastor Luke, you don't need to go on a diet. Well, that's because I just went on a diet. But without eating, without changing our habits, without taking action, without looking at where I was and saying, I need to change that and I need to do something about it, faith doesn't activate. Faith isn't activated. In other words, it's just a word. It's just voices. It's just words and syllables that come out of our mouth. But when we do something about it, when we take action, when we act upon it, Then all of a sudden, God sets his hand upon it and says, you know what? I'll come underneath you. I'll come beside you and I'll lift you up and I'll get you through today. I'll get you through tomorrow. You're worried about what's the bend? I'll get you here and I'll get you past that bend. Because all of a sudden we activate our faith. We act on it and we trust in God and we let God come down and team up beside us. The Bible tells us that if God be for us, who then can be against us? So in James, if you have your Bibles with you, turn in the book of James. Just a couple pages over from Hebrews, if you had your ribbon in Hebrews. James, the second chapter. Verse number 14, what I'm going to do, if you have your ribbon, I would put it back in James, because we're going to go to James, the second chapter, then we're going to go somewhere else, and then we're going to come back to James, the second chapter. James, the second chapter, in verse number 14. I love this, man. I was reading this today, and I really just got the sense of urgency from James as he's writing this book. I mean, I could tell, you know, there's been times if you read the writings of Paul where you can just feel the zeal. I mean, times where you can actually feel like he's writing and pounding the desk at the same time. He's just so pumped into it, right? And this is his passage. I started reading it, and just in the way he describes it and the way he writes it, you can tell. He is just pumped up about this. I mean, he is just like, he's not cutting corners or he's not beating around the bush. I mean, he is just telling it like it is. And I'll tell you what, sometimes we as people, we as Christians need to hear it the way it is. So James in the second chapter, verse number 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, if somebody says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? He goes on to use the example in verse number 15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and verse number 16 comes and says, and if one of you says to them, oh, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give them anything that they are needed for the body, what does it profit? But someone will say, oh, verse 17, but thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. He uses the example, he says, listen, if somebody is naked and they don't have any clothes and they haven't eaten, and you come along to them and say, hey man, don't worry, it's going to get better, you know, and you be of good cheer, you know, have faith, and walk away, you don't give them anything, what good does that do to them? Did it give them clothes? Did it put food in their stomach? No, they're still naked, they're still hungry. And all the time, a lot of times in our lives, in our walk with God and our faith, we treat that as our own situation. We don't feed our faith. We don't act upon our faith. We just say something, but we don't do anything to back it up. We don't go in the Bible and read about the situations or what the Word says about our present situation. You know, we may say something to somebody else, like that person, that close family member to me said, I have faith for my healing. And that's when I looked at them and said, I have real faith. Because I have gone and looked at what the Bible says about my situation, because I know that here we see that faith without works is dead. But even in my own life, in other walks of God, there's been times where I myself have not applied action to my faith. I've not done anything about it, but just say it. And God has shown me through the course of my life, and I know he'll continue to do so, that listen, faith without works is dead. Until you back it up, until you actually get off your duff and do something about it, faith is just a word. You can believe it all you want in your heart. You can proclaim it all you want out of your mouth. But until you do something about your faith, whether it just be getting into the Word of God and reading what the Bible says about your situation, or be getting out and doing what God said to do and just start working in faith, until you get up and do something about it, faith is just a word. And all too often in our walk with God as Christians, we just operate where faith is just a word. And we expect that we can sit there and just believe and proclaim and tell other people that I have faith and hope that someday it falls out of the sky and lands on our lap. I have faith that I can be a prosperous businessman. I have faith that I can have my healing. I have faith that I could be a better person. And day in and day out, we go about the same order of business and we don't do anything about our faith and wonder, why is it that our faith doesn't work? James says that faith without works is dead. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn one page back, probably, hopefully, to James, the first chapter. Now, I tell you a story about faith without works, and the first work, let me say this, the first work, and we're going to read this in James, the first chapter. The first action, first and foremost, before we can even get up and do something about it, is the action required in faith is that we have got to believe our own faith. You might say, well, Pastor Luke, that's kind of a weird statement. I don't quite understand what you just said. We have got to believe the words that come out of our own mouth. How many times have we spoken out in faith, spoken out and said, you know what, I believe for this, I believe for that. But in our own heart, we say, man, I don't, the situation, even though I have faith for that, the situation, I just don't see it happening. But God, you never know. You know, God's a good God. God, we have got to believe our own words. When we speak something, we have got to take action in our heart first and foremost and believe it. You know, my wife and I, a couple of years ago, the first thing we did when we got married, we bought a dog. And we had this dog, and we loved this dog. And this dog was like a kid to us. And all of a sudden, one day, this dog just got sick. We don't know why, whatever happened. We don't know what led to it. But this dog went from like good to horrible. And so we went to the vet, and the vet says, well, this dog has kidney disease. And he says, this is something that normally happens to dogs when they're 12, 13, 14 years old. But this dog has kidney disease, and it's going to die, and she's 2 years old. And, you know, we said, and Stacy and I, we went home, and we cried, and we couldn't figure out, because it had been about a year and a half that we'd owned this dog. And we said, why? Why is it like this? And I said, you know what, babe? We're going to stand in faith. We're going to believe, God, that this dog is going to be healed. We're going to believe. But you know what, in my heart? I knew what the doctor had said, and I had looked it up on the internet, and I had looked up all the prognoses and all the treatments, and I had saw that kidney disease is incurable in dogs. And so in my heart, a seed of doubt began to grow. And if you let that seed of doubt, you let that seed of unbelief come, it's going to become like a weed, and it's going to take the nourishment, and it's going to take the nutrition from the plants, from the faith, and it's going to rob your faith. And that seed of doubt in my own heart, I began to say, well, you know what? Kidney disease is incurable. This dog is going to die. Our efforts of whatever we're doing in our faith is a wash. And then the dog died. So my faith didn't come through. And I was mad at God. I was mad at God. I really was. He said, God, I went to Bible college. I knew faith. I thought I knew the principles of faith. Why is it that you didn't come through? I was praying every day for the faith, for the healing of this dog. And I know you're able to do it. But why didn't it? And it took me months and months and months of getting over my own issue. Why? Because I let that seed of doubt, I let that seed of unbelief in my heart, and I let it grow. And I didn't do anything about it, and I didn't believe the words that came out of my own mouth. We as Christians have got to believe the things that we say. In James, in the first chapter, speaking of in verse number 5, I'll read before we have verse number 6 on the overhead. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. First of all, if any man lacks wisdom, if you lack wisdom about the faith that you're standing for, James says, ask God, and he will give it to you. You say, God, I need to understand the situation in me. I need wisdom about my healing. I need wisdom about my business decision. I need wisdom about my future. I need wisdom about my family. Ask God, and he will give to you, he says. In verse number 6, let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. He goes on to say that let that man not suppose that he would receive anything from the Lord, for he's a double-minded man, and he's unstable in all of his ways. Guys, we've got to realize that faith takes action. And the first action that we have to take in our own faith is to believe the words that are coming out of our mouth and to not doubt in our heart, like James says, because he says in verse number 7, let not that man who doubts in his heart suppose he receives anything from the Lord. First and foremost, our action from faith is that we have got to believe what we are saying. We have got to believe what the word says. We have got to believe the foundation and the proof that we proclaim and stand on it. Secondly, as far as realizing that faith takes action, we have got to act on faith. Bottom line, guys, we have got to act on faith. You know, we can proclaim that we believe, we can proclaim that we receive, we can proclaim that we're standing in faith, and we can believe it in our own heart, and we can be in line with our own faith. But if we don't take action about what it is that God has set upon us, then what good does it do? James says, it's just like saying, you know, that person who told the naked and destitute and hungry person, be okay. That person may have actually believed their own words to that person. But if you don't take action, if you don't give that person food, you don't give that person clothing, it does no good. Faith without works is dead. So we can believe our own faith. We can be in line with our own faith. But if we don't get up and act upon our faith, what good does it accomplish? And back in James, the second chapter again, in verse number 21, we read about Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by the works, faith was made perfect. And scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Verse 24, you see, a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Guys, Abraham, here God tells Abraham. He promises Abraham a son. Abraham operates in the faith and realizes the covenant that he makes with God, and Abraham is delivered a son in his old age. And now Abraham is living in the promises of God. He's happy. He's got joy. He's got his faith has come through, and now he has a son. He has an heir, a true son. And God tells Abraham, Abraham, take your son to the mount and offer him as a sacrifice unto me. And it says here in verse number 2, or verse 21, Abraham was justified by works when he offered Isaac his son to the altar. He didn't actually, if you guys know the story, he took Isaac all the way up. He didn't say anything about it. You know, the interesting thing about Abraham is he didn't go and tell everybody about it. He didn't go through the camp. We don't read in the next verses in Genesis that after God asked Abraham to do that, okay, well, so then it says Abraham went to the camp and he got everybody around in a bonfire and said, God has told me to do this. What do you think about that? What's your opinion on that? No, the Bible tells us that when God told Abraham that early the next morning, he rose and did what God asked him to do. He rose, he got up, he got off his duff. The Bible tells us that we do not walk by faith, not by sight. Right? We walk, we live by faith, not by sight. We move by faith, not by sight. We don't just stand around and wait in faith and let it go, but the Bible tells us that we live in faith. Not by sight. The just shall walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. The Bible tells us that. So Abraham, as the example, says, you know what? God told me to offer up my son. You know what? He had faith in the sense that he knew that God promised him a son. God was going to not renege on his promises. And that God would either, one, deliver his son from the dead. Or two, provide something else to give as a sacrifice. And so Abraham operated in the faith. He got up and he activated it. And he acted in it in believing that God is faithful in what he said. And he took his son to the altar all the way to the point where his son was on the altar and the knife was in the air. And then God said, Abraham, you have proven yourself faithful. And that's when he made the covenant that his descendants would be like the stars in the sky and the sands on the sea. Why? Because he stood in faith. And not only did he believe what God told him, not only did he have a firm foundation, not only did he have proof by his living proof now by his son Isaac, but he knew that God was a just God. And he knew and he acted on the faith that God said, listen, you take your son and you offer him as a sacrifice to me. And he knew that God would come through in one way or another. Guys, in our walk with Christ, in our walk with God, we have got to act on our faith. You know, I've heard people tell me, I would love to give more to the church. I would love to give more in my offering. I would love to be a better person. I would love to have a more successful business. But until we start acting on the promises of God, until we start applying the principles of God in our life and acting on our faith, we do nothing but speak. You want to be a better person? Then start acting on faith. Start acting in that. Start believing that God has called you to be a new creation. You want to give more? You want to be a more generous person? Then start acting in the principles of God and test God at his word. You want to start being a more successful business person? Then start acting on that. Start applying the business principles. Start applying a healthy work ethic. And you watch when you activate your faith. God, come through, and your faith stay strong, stay unwavering in the things, in the trials that come against us each and every day. And then, and only then will you have lasting faith that one will not only get you through the day, but also to get you around the bend and through the future. And in conclusion tonight, all of my life, my father told me, and he's told this church this countless times, that what you treat as common will become common. And when we treat faith as something common, faith will become something common. Guys, let me tell you something. Church, let me tell you something. Faith is not something to be treated as normal. It is not something to be treated as common. Faith is something that was given to us. It is a right given by us. It is a requirement by God for us as Christians to live. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse number 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is not only something that we are to operate in, it is a requirement for us to live as Christians. But when we treat it as something common, when we treat our convictions, when we treat our foundations, when we treat those things and that evidence and the proof is something that is common, then all of a sudden we devalue the purpose of our faith and we wonder why it doesn't work. So guys, tonight in conclusion, we have got to treat faith as something special. Faith takes ownership. You might say, Pastor Luke, I don't know what the Bible says about my current situation. Guys, the bottom line is each and every person is responsible for their own faith. I, the pastor of the young adults, or I, the pastor here at the Rock, I cannot be responsible for your faith. You cannot be responsible for your brother's faith. Your brother cannot be responsible for his friend's faith. We have all got to be responsible. We have got to take ownership of our faith and take the initiative and take the action to seek out what it is that God says about our situation in order for us to have a firm foundation in faith. So tonight, we have got to understand that what faith is. We have got to understand that faith is a foundation. It is something to lay down. It is something to put a sturdy foundation on. It is the proof and the evidence. It is something that we can test and prove true of things that we cannot see. Faith has to be based on the Word of God. And secondly, tonight, we have to act on our faith. And first and foremost, in acting on our faith, we have to believe the words that come out of our own mouth. And we have to act in faith and believe and line our inside up with what we say. And secondly, when it comes to faith, we have got to act and get out and do something about our faith. Get out and read the Word of God about our faith. Get out and talk to somebody about if God's put on your heart to be a better person, then get out and talk to somebody about the Word of God and start to live the life of faith. And you watch how your faith then becomes more powerful. No longer is it just a word. No longer is it just a statement. But now it is a principle. It is a guiding ideal that leads and guides your path and directs you from today throughout the future. If you guys got something out of that, give the Lord a praise.